it's the Big Show. We're here to flex our tech muscles in the tech gym today. And maybe us lads will hit the showers later. You know what I mean, Jeffrey?
Boy, howdy.
We're here to talk the week in tech with a fantastic panel. Recent additions, but very, very, very appreciated. First up, it's Alan Houschel. How are you, mate? Been travelling, I see.
Yeah, just back from a fantastic two-week holiday in Greece. It was awesome food, lots of historical sites, awesome beaches. Yeah, didn't want to come back.
Yeah, that's all I need to see when I'm at work. Anyway, his pictures of Alan going, this looks really nice. This pipe looks really nice. This food is awesome. I'm eating my soggy biscuits and my coffee, and I'm thinking, you sod.
Yeah, the worst thing was it was just so cheap out there that we ate out every night because it was about €12 for starters, main course, and the wine.
Wow. And you took full advantage, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Good man. And backing us up tonight, it's Terry Barrett. Where have you been, my boy?
Hello. I've been between houses and holidays, and I'm finally settling down. And for now, anyway, we're going to get a new house fairly soon. Hopefully, fingers crossed.
More people having holidays. The only holiday I get is to look after my daughter on half terms and that sort of thing. But we just play Minecraft, so it's not so bad.
That's a holiday. Playing Minecraft for a week or two is a good holiday.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with that. I just got into Grand Theft Auto 5. That's my life right now. I'm proper gangster at the moment. I really am. But I don't drive. I don't drive in real life, and I don't drive in Grand Theft Auto. And I have to drive to a job. My daughter drives. Bless her heart. She's 12 years old, and she drives me to all of my jobs.
Well, that's good, because when you're when she's 17 and able to drive, she can drive you to and from the pub, and you can have a drink, and, you know, there you go. She's getting the practice in.
Only 5 years away.
Yeah.
She's
got to be careful she doesn't run over the all the pedestrians and hookers along the way, and, you know, you'll be fine.
You just make a distinction between pedestrians and hookers.
I shouldn't really. Hookers are people too. I'm sorry.
And if they're out on the street, they are pedestrians.
They are. There's no there's no discernment.
Show title already.
Pedestrians with benefits. I'm not writing me a show title, I'm not doing that. And last but not least, the reason why Thursday night is my favourite night of the week is Jeff Gamet. How are you, sir?
Now that we're both here together, I'm doing wonderfully.
Any interesting phone calls today, Jeff?
Funny you should ask. As a matter of fact, yes. So earlier today, I got a phone call and answer it, and it's this guy with, you know, that kind of stereotypical heavy Indian accent.
Yes.
You know, like the call center accent, and he wants to let me know that I'm in an area where they've detected a high number of computer hacks. And so they need to check my computer. And I'm like, oh really? And so he wants to make sure I'm at my computer. And I said, yes. And then he says, okay, what web browser do you use? And so I said, OmniWeb, which is a web browser that I use. It's kind of obscure. And he was totally at a loss. And he's like, what? I'm like, OmniWeb. I don't understand. OmniWeb, I don't understand. OmniWeb, I don't understand. Vibrator, I don't understand. So anyhow, he went through the routine where he was trying to get me to click the start button on my computer. And, of course, I have a Mac. So I'm telling him, I don't see this on my keyboard. And is it the escape key? So anyhow, I kept stringing this guy on as long as I could, and doing the blow by blow on Twitter, and eventually, he said, I need to send you to a senior technician. And I'm like, okay, great. And then he hung up. So I had a phishing scammer on the phone today and was not able to keep him on the phone long enough to completely ruin his afternoon. But I did have fun at his expense.
Well, there you go. No, that's a bit thing being friends with you on Facebook. I just saw that today, and like you're like it's like being in a candy shop.
It was like being in a candy shop, because I've never had one of those calls come in, and so when it did, I'm like, oh my god, yes! I was really excited to have that call.
Fantastic! He doesn't know who he's talking to, does he?
He had no idea. And so I put his phone number on Twitter and Facebook. So if anyone needs to call him for any help.
Did you really?
Totally, yeah.
Oh,
put it in the chat room.
Oh, sure. Maybe. I can totally put it in the chat room. Maybe. Hold on. I just have to go.
I got my stepson's 17, and his group of friends would love to hound somebody like that.
All right. I have the phone number. It's going into the chat room now.
Is that Doc?
It is.
Has the Doc just joined?
It has. And as Cabby's pointed to me, it's not camera switching at the moment, which is weird.
It is. They're just behind.
Oh, okay. Oh, no, when you... Yeah, it is it? Yeah.
It's switching my end, anyway.
They got a look.
Ah, you piece of
Live!
Doctor, hello!
Yeah. I didn't use the term I was going to. It seems that upgrading to El Captain, my captain, has taken out the settings for my camera. I have to readjust
everything. Well, that's annoying.
I have to readjust everything.
Did you get El Captain installing for like 27 minutes for about 37 minutes then and 7 minutes for another 15 minutes?
It was something like that. Yeah. The funny part was I have SSD and everything, but it got to the part where it says about 2 minutes left, and that was a half an hour. Yeah. And I was like, that's the same 2 minutes I used to tell girls about in college.
Okay. Paul, yeah, the chat room's right. The YouTube stream isn't auto switching.
It's not switching.
It's auto switching on our end, but
not on their end.
Yeah.
That's bloody weird.
Because it's happily switching backwards and forwards in my view.
Okay.
Presenter's view.
I know. Oh, there you go. How's that?
We'll have to wait a minute.
I have to edit this weekend. Damn everyone. Someone say something.
Hello. Something.
Oh.
I was kind of hoping we'd all be quiet.
Yes. We're going to do the big silent show, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, welcome to Doc's Relaxing Hour. See, let's all cuddle up and spin.
I'll go with... delay now. Oh, there we go. Yes, we're switching. Yay! Damn you, Google. As I pointed out in previous posts, I hate you, Google. Anyway, so if I'm editing, I can edit this back in at the start. Doc Rock, how are you?
Fantastic.
He's been here all along.
Yeah, he's just invisible. Yeah.
He's just hiding under the covers waiting to pounce.
Yes, that's what I do. Anyway, we're going to have to do this. I'm only going to be here super quick. Like, I just came to say what's up. I got to go get knee shots. No one called right now. What the heck? I'm in the TV.
Don't you know who he is?
It's probably the same fishing scammer that called earlier today.
I hope he is.
I'm waiting for him to say, do you know who I am? And no, he's not going to do it.
I'm trying to lip read. He's just, what? No, I didn't get it.
Well, anyway. I'll edit this out. Because I will.
And when you edit, I'm gonna need you to put like the picture of my face on there and just leave it down there when I leave to go get my shots.
Okay, okay. Right. The week in tech. Has anyone bring a story?
I did.
Yep.
Terry, my man.
I know. Amy. So it's the no tech story about technology in school that was not a quick Google 10 minutes before the show to find out what I could talk about. I promise.
Plug it in the chat room for the chat room to pick it up.
I'm grabbing it now. So here we go.
That's what she said.
I wish. There we go.
Ah, Jeffrey.
So, The Guardian, in fact, it was an American website, believe it or not, that that did the cover that I saw. And then I Googled the school, which is the Acorn School in London, or the London Acorn School, which I actually find an ironic name, because if everybody remembers Acorn being the computer of choice when we were at school. Yes. They have banned all TV, all laptops, all smartphones, all everything tech for under 12 years old. And then after you're 12, you can use a computer for, you can watch TV for documentaries. And then after you're 14, you can watch films. And even then, it's all got to be vetted. And apparently, you pay £11,000 a year for the privilege as well. So this kind of makes me question really what the point is in the school. I mean, they're claiming that, you know, they're getting better results and everything's great because their kids aren't all absorbed into technology. And I think, what a load of pap.
Yes,
I really do.
So what's PAP?
PAP is a polite way of saying rubbish. But an impolite... The polite way of impolitely saying rubbish in a less swear wordy way. There we go.
But rubbish isn't a bad word.
No, rubbish isn't. I'm trying not to say the word that the other words. Crap. I can say crap. That's a good word.
You can totally say
crap. Crap.
So I think it's a load of crap. And I think that if my children went to a school that had something like, I don't know, 100 people across all the years, then my children would probably learn a lot more all the teacher's attention. I think that they're playing on the fears of vulnerable rich people who are probably not that vulnerable really because they've got that much money and they don't get taken advantage of, but you get the point. And I just wanted to know, really, I mean, what does everybody else think about that? I mean, I don't think that technology being banned in school is really going to aid children, especially when they come out of school and they go into the real world. What are they, you know, they're going to need these skills. These are life skills. This is today, not, you know, yesteryear.
Well, they're at a disadvantage straight away, aren't they? Because, I said to my daughter's 12 years old, and she does her research on the internet, and it's a clear advantage of things. And she learns a lot of life skills through that as well. She kills a lot of people on Minecraft games and all that sort of thing, which probably isn't the greatest thing
that's
in the world.
That's a life skill.
When the zombie apocalypse comes.
I will send her out. But we complain in this country that there's not enough IT skills as there is. You know, why £11,000 a year that you'd send your child there to not learn IT skills where, apart from being a blacksmith or whatever, name me a skill where you're not going to interact with technology.
No, and the funny thing is that's common here too, right? We're having a thing where there's this massive complaints about lack of people that can fill the tech jobs, and even more so, lack of, you know, say the disadvantaged, the minorities, or the women that can fill these jobs. And so for people to eliminate these things from school makes no sense. And the thing that I find to be the biggest farce in the planet, and if you go on Facebook at any given date and time, you'll see somebody talking about it, and they're one of your close friends because they heard it on the news somewhere, that somehow those of us who use technology are becoming incapable of speaking with people, and we are losing our social skills, and we always have our heads down, and blah, blah, blah. And that pisses me off to a level that I can't even imagine. It's because, okay, so while you're thinking that, you know, say we're being unsocial because we're at dinner and we have our head down in a phone and we're not talking with the family, No, because I'm talking with somebody in Birmingham, I'm talking with somebody in Australia, somebody in Colorado, somebody in Germany, somebody in Japan, somebody in Korea, all at the same time, because they're more intelligent than you family members. So it's more fun to talk to them. So don't come with that crazy idea that we're somehow losing our sense of person and our sense of community because we're on our devices. When you're in Facebook and Twitter, you're more cosmopolitan than ever before. And I know this to be true because if you listen to the common vernacular of, say, a 6 to 8 year old versus what we sounded like when we were kids, like, they will blow your mind.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. I think my niece
says things I didn't say till I was in high school.
There's a reason for some of those words.
Yeah. I mean, the big thing is, though, they're doing, you know, this is a complete black and white opposite thing. Yeah, I think everyone agrees that, you know, moderation, and that younger children should have their hours limited. But, I mean, a blanket ban at home and at school is crazy. It also, I mean, an example is my sister-in-law. She was really anti-guns, and she imposed a total anti-gun thing on my nephew when he was growing up. Mm-hmm. Do you know how hard it is to find Action Men sets without guns? But, you know, we did it for about the first 6 years of his life. Funnily enough, he was completely obsessed with guns. Because
exactly. Yeah, how about that?
Yeah. Well, isn't that the whole thing about us with alcohol as well? I mean, as Brits, yes. I'm referring to in particular there, where we're not allowed to drink until we're 18, and yet here we go, we go out and we go out on our out of our way to go and get drunk and you know, to make a good weekend. Our night is a point, I have to get drunk tonight because I've been waiting 18 years of my life for this. And actually, well, you know, I'm not saying you should let your kids drink. I'm not saying that at all. But if you didn't make it such a taboo, then surely it wouldn't be such a big deal when it comes to age and, you know.
Imagine what it's like here where we all have to wait until we're 21.
Yeah, we can go into the army and be trained to travel around the world and kill people, but
we can drink.
You can't buy a drink.
Well, that's, you know, because Jeff, a gun whilst you're drunk is probably a bad idea.
No, Jeff, you know what's absolutely funny? When I was in the army, the drinking age was 21, and we initially, for the first 2 years of my service, we had a pass. Because if you're old enough to shoot, you're old enough to drink. So you could drink on base. You couldn't drink off base. And then the state legislatures and all got into it with all of the various bases around the country, and they kiboshed that rule. So basically from 20 to 21 – actually, I went in the Army at 17. So from 19 to 21, I couldn't drink anymore. So I had a privilege actually taken away from me while I was in the Army. And I kind of agree that, yeah, maybe alcohol and guns will go together, but we don't have guns in garrison. We only have guns when we go out. But we're in garrison. Yeah, you got to check them in when you walk back on base. You don't just tote it with you 24/7.
Campion says, like Campion said in the chat room, you know, technology is a fundamental thing that you have to have in schools now. Because it's not just about using technology and learning technology, it's the safe ways to use technology as well. Because you've got things like social media, Facebook, Instagram, all this sort of thing. Another thing they should be teaching in schools is how to use those things safely, because you're exposing yourself to the world when you go on to see things, and learning how to be safe is probably one of the most important things that you could do. And I think kids should be taught that at a very young age, because they have access to technology very young. Because you see kids, you know, 7, 8, and 9 with smartphones, mm-hmm. and you don't know what sort of thing they're accessing. And I think safety within technology is probably a really important thing.
I agree, absolutely. You know, and I think that's one thing that I think that, you know, we're trying to get there, you know, with profiles on our phones and things like that now, being able to kind of switch over to child mode and what have you, I think is an important thing. You know, if you are going to give your phone to a child, or give any phone to any child, you know, you need to be responsible. You know, you don't just leave your computer on with access to porn or whatever. When you've got kids in the house, so why would you give them a phone where they can go on anything and anybody can just get in touch with them and do anything like that? Do you know what I mean?
Well, the thing is, the internet, which you have access to on your phone or any device, is a window into the world, and the world is a pretty dark place. And if you come out of school at 11 years old, having never been exposed to technology, it's going to be pretty scary. And in the same way you say about drinking at 18 or 21, they're probably going to leave having no technology, being immersed in the world that is full of technology, and going, I want to go and see some of that stuff.
Definitely. I wonder if you'd even be a bit institutionalized because of it, almost, you know, in this environment where you've got nothing for how many years. You know, you may actually grow up to fear it in the end as well.
Well, I think another good example is, you know, nowadays, what are employers looking for, and how could you survive without, you know, sort of knowing how to, you know, properly research facts and just, you know, tap into the volume of knowledge that's on the internet? Because yes, there's the issue of obviously blatant copying and plagiarism, but in the real world, you know, everyone else has the internet behind them. If you don't, you've seriously disadvantaged that kid.
Yeah, because it is a fundamental thing now that everyone has. I know in Europe that it's almost being thought as a human right to have the internet, hasn't it? I think in Sweden and places like that, it's almost a fundamental human right to have access to the internet.
Well, I say there's obviously I think most people are pretty clear and happy that, you know, sort of internet access is being viewed on the level of a utility like electricity and gas and stuff. Yeah. So, okay, you've just taken away, you know, you've taken away a modern utility of life from your kids. That's not helping them.
You're not going to take away their water and their food, are you?
You would hope not.
Exactly.
I mean, so here's the other side of the coin as well, and I'm going to play a devil's advocate a bit here. Are we, as a group, as a team of techies ourselves, not ever so slightly biased? I mean, you yourself have just compared internet to water and food, and I don't think that it's quite that much of a necessity in life.
I would do the balancing act between which one I need more.
To be fair, I was comparing it to electric and gas, which, you know, is slightly less essential than water. But
depends on how much curry you had.
Too true.
I think that it is becoming, like, there's a lot of conversation here in the U.S. about making certain utilities what they call a Title II utility, or I forgot the proper terminology. Jeff, correct me. But it basically means putting internet on the level of the same as electricity and gas.
Yeah, that's Title II.
Due
to the fact that we do sort of use it in sort of a commodity type situation. And it is somewhat egregious to believe that you wouldn't be not only hurting a child by taking the stuff away from you would be making them somewhat socially inept. Mm. You know, they can get into situations of more danger because they wouldn't be aware of some of the common sense things you pick up. You know, one thing about any environment, as you walk around, you have a certain amount of common sense you pick up without any teaching, without any nurturing or whatever. There's some things you just pick up on. Even surfing the net, right? You can be out there and you run into something and it's, okay, this looks a little bit crazy, and you just back off it, you move on, you go to the next item. And we've developed those filters. We've developed how to see when an alert from Google is an actual alert from Google or a BS alert from Google that's about to steal all of your data, right?
Exactly.
Most of us have figured it out, including the neophytes in our family have figured that out, that PayPal doesn't send you things with typos in it or like gaps in common words like mortgage, things like that. So those are the social skills needed in today's environment, and those social skills would deplete if you were to take even away from us for, say, 3-4 months. If all of us said, all right, screw it, we're mad, or, you know, everybody's individual wives and partners jack their computer and says, no, you can't touch the internet for 3 months, we would come back and we would be socially lost. You know? So that's just, we're grown as people, and we would be socially lost with about, you know, 90 days worth of net removed from us. So imagine doing that to kids now where their compatriots, or sorry, their contemporaries are learning all this stuff and gaining the knowledge and learning the know-how and the safety features and all of that. I think it's just crazy. And it's funny how many people, like Alan said, see it as a on and off black and white type situation. It's mind-boggling.
It's absolutely crazy.
Well, this would be like telling kids that even though English is the language everyone around them is speaking, that they'll be speaking only Latin for the first 12 years of their life.
Well, they will be. They'll be in illiteracy when they come out the other side, won't they? So yeah. You're absolutely right.
Yeah,
they wouldn't know what UTF is, for example.
Can't go a day without it. Well, there you go, Terry, for a last-minute story. That was a bloody good story. Cheers, mate. Sure. Doc, do you want to give us your story if you need a rush?
Yes, and hopefully I don't piss off Jeff with this one, but I just thought this was super cool. Netflix and Lego are going to introduce two new kid shows in 2016, sort of on the heels of, like, you know, Orange is the New Black and Gracie and Frankie and, you know, their own Netflix original series. Netflix and Lego have got together to commission some shows, and the first one is going to be Bionicle, The Journey of One, and the other one is going to be Lego Friends and Power Friendships. Now, these two series initially are only going to pop off with about, I think, 4 to 6 episodes apiece, but they said that they're going to completely expand the line by 2017, and somewhere they hope to introduce an additional 6 or 7 series on top of the original two. So for those people like you and, you know, who'd like to do the father-son thing and kick it with their kid building Lego, or people like Jeff that like to build Lego with his imaginary kid, you have something to look forward to in the Netflix universe. And, you know, Reed and the team, I got to say, big on you, man. It's pretty awesome idea. I wish that Apple and, you know, Amazon and some of the other guys will follow suit with maybe not necessarily Lego, but with other, you know, makers out there, and just do something really cool to make truly original children's programming.
You know, Lego is already doing some really awesome animated stuff, like the Lego superheroes shows that you can watch on Netflix already. A lot of those are done really well, and they're fun and they're lighthearted, but they're entertaining, good stories, and in some cases they're actually doing better stories with their Lego characters than you're seeing the you know, the big name comic companies doing with their Lego stories. Yeah,
all like Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, DC could learn a lot from watching how Lego does superhero movies. Yeah.
You know what's impressive in the story that I read on The Verge? They said that some 30 million of the 65 million subscribers watch kids' programs. And what I found interesting about that is I remember when the VHS tape of a Disney movie was the electronic babysitter, and then now it's basically almost any connected device has Netflix on it. And I was thinking, like, wow, that seems kind of crazy. I can't believe that many people do it. And then, sure as it gets his groceries, when my niece comes over and I'm busy and I'm babysitting her, I'm like, here, take the, you know how to turn on the Xbox, you know how to do the Netflix things. And it's super cute to hear the 6-year-old, Xbox on! Xbox! And she has the baby list still. Xbox, watch Netflix! Uncle, it's not listening to me! I'm like, say it slower. Xbox, watch Netflix! And all of a sudden, he goes, blue, blue! And she's like, it's work! And she's so excited. So
that's awesome.
I do it myself. Like, when his uncle's turn to babysit, it's definitely about Netflix and the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Sit your ass on the couch and don't move until your mom comes.
Okay, so educate me. I sat through the first 15 minutes of the Lego movie.
Yes.
And with my family, we turned it off. Were we wrong?
What is wrong with you?
I thought you might say that.
I saw it twice in the theater, and the day it was available for digital purchase on iTunes Store, I bought it. And if it was a VHS tape, I would have already worn it out from watching it so much.
It's the first big musical number where he's getting up and all that, and we're sitting there, we're going, I don't get it. I don't do a lot of Lego. But
you don't need to do Lego. It's just
but they were setting up that this perfect saccharine world and then the hero character doesn't fit, and then all the misfits and the cracks in the world. So yes, there's a lot of there's intentional saccharin to get through at the start.
Yeah.
But then it goes into a lot of crazy and darker places.
So at the end of this show, I'm going to give you all my wife's Twitter handle, and you can all go, "What's the Lego movie at the weekend?"
All right.
I can say, it's not my fault. It's Jeff's, it's Alan's, it's Terry's, it's Doc's.
It's a wonderful movie. It is so much fun. It's done really well because there's all this stuff to entertain children, but then there's this other level for the adults that's just going to totally go over the kids' heads.
Do you mean smut?
No, there's actually no smut in it at all. But there's just this other subtle humor that's happening that's there for the parents and other adults that are watching, and the kids just won't notice it at all.
Okay.
Isn't that the magic of, like, you know, any kind of Pixar film or DreamWorks film, you know, where we've got to take the kids out and we show them the films or whatever, and yeah, we're laughing at the jokes because we get them, and the kids are like, "Oh, why are you laughing?" You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I need to get back in because I watched Pixels at the weekend, and that completely destroyed my childhood.
Was it any good?
That's a terrible movie. It's
clearly punishment for something that every actor in the movie has done wrong in their life, and that's why they have to be in the movie.
It's community service for actors.
It has to be community service. I mean, the trailers for it are probably a violation of the Geneva Convention. So, imagine having to sit through like 90 minutes of that.
And I did. I saw it all the way to the end. I don't want to admit it. My daughter loves Adam Sandler movies. Absolutely adores Adam Sandler movies. And they're probably watching one right now as I do this show.
I won't say he's a legend. Just don't say anything bad about him.
No, he's 12 years old and he's watched every Adam Sandler movie that's going. So she did nothing bad about it. It was that thing. And this is going back to the kids who don't have technology from their 11 years old, because she's looking at the Cuba and the characters. She's going, "Well, what's that then?" And I'm like, "Oh God, you know so little." And I failed as a father to teach my daughter her technology heritage. So I put my hands up that I have been a bad father.
Yep, you forgot to preface that with Luke.
I think that's even worse, because if she was going to be a boy, that was going to be her name. So bless her heart. So it almost happened.
You could have named her Luke as a girl.
No, she's already got a movie name. I won't go into it. But yes, I have much work to do.
Yes, you do.
Yes, my father had it, my sister had it, and now you have it. No, you don't. So I have failed. So Lego, thumbs up, thumbs down. I have a panel.
Thumbs up.
Oh, yeah. Thumbs down from Terry. Terry says thumbs down.
I don't know if you saw the chat room there. I'm not a fan of Lego. And that said, though, I will slightly redeem myself on this one. I really did like the Lego movie. I thought it was awesome.
Okay.
So it could potentially be good. How about that? There you go.
Okay. I will give Lego movie a go, and I'll report back on it and show you of what I think about it. I'll at least let Jeff know anyway. Thank you, Doc. Fantastic story. Alan, give me a story, sir.
Okay, no problem. Let's just drop it in the chat room. So this one, as I say, is basically enhancement to how Google will target ads at you.
Ooh.
Basically, companies who have your email address because you've registered with them or bought something from them will be able to give Google your email address and say, "Push these ads at this specific person."
Oh, jeez, I'm screwed. Oh, Jesus Christ. No, really?
But yeah, really.
Oh,
and,
God.
And also, apparently, we'll be able to send give Google an email address and say, I want you to send these ads to this individual and the other people that you've grouped to be like this person from your demographics.
So by joining this Google Hangout tonight, you've all given me your Google addresses, haven't you?
Thankfully, I use them for nothing other than Hangouts.
Oh, okay, fair enough. that's ridiculous. What? So you could actually say, you know, Jeff, Doc,
yeah.
Terry, and Alan, you know.
Yeah, give them my ads for my, you know, trainers.
So you like my lube. I think the Jeff would appreciate it.
I would do that. I wouldn't mind if my friends recommended something that I like.
I mean, a gallon of lube.
No, not that crazy. I don't need a gallon, but you know,
at a time.
Like something kind of good, or you know, maybe the one that's heat sensitive or something like that. I'll be like, yeah, I'll share that with Jeff.
I mean, yeah. The interesting one I thought was, okay, you've given this company your email address because presumably you've bought a product or registered with them, but now they will be able to get their ads in front of you specifically pretty much anywhere on the internet, because obviously Google's ads are pretty much on most sites. The other interesting one I thought in this story is, it makes a bit more sense when you think about it, but Facebook has basically offered the same service since 2012. Now, obviously, you know, Facebook has your email address, fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know that companies could go, here are 200 emails of our customers. Please send them our ads whenever they turn up.
Well, it doesn't work that way, because I did know that this works because I use it on a regular basis, but it doesn't work the way you think it works. Okay, so here's what happens. I'm going to throw a Simon and Garfunkel and the Roots concert here in Honolulu, Hawaii, and I want to make sure that everybody comes to it. If you haven't seen the latest Jimmy Fallon, then you don't know what I'm talking about, but if you have, go watch it. It's pretty incredible. So I can go, all right, so I know for a fact that Jeff Gamet is a good S&G fan, and I think that people like Jeff, that like the similar things as Jeff, will be great fits for my thing. So I can already send out a blanket one for men between the ages, say, of 25 and 50 that do XYZ. I can do that already. But I can also say, take Jeff Gamet and Paul Wright and send it to everybody that matches their general profile. So I can select a handful of people and say generate profiles based off of these people and find me those guys, right? Or I can say find me people like Kelly and just click it, and it will generate, you know, all the 4'11" girls who talk too much. Like, and it will send it to that, you know, 8-9 people. You know, so you've been able to do that, but it's so cool because in a way you're not doing this blanket, quote unquote, the science guys made up these stupid demographics that don't really fit, because I almost don't fit in any. But if you were to click find people like Doc, all of you guys would probably get the ads. You know, tech guys that are a little bit more contemporary than nerd, but are very nerd. Like, they respect the hell out of their nerd, but they have enough common sense to be socially inept. Because if inept is bad, then nept might be the right word. I don't know. But anyway, you know what I mean? Like, it will probably find.
I'm not going to vouch for that because I'm not sure myself.
Doc, that's one of the best compliments I've had in a really long time.
That you're socially inept? Or that you're socially inept. That you like Simon and Garfunkel and the Roots.
That too, yes.
Yeah, so I think that's really cool. And it really helped my clients and stuff not to waste money on advertising. So I can see where it comes. And the Facebook ads aren't really irritating. It's not like they cover your whole wall and say, hey, you can't do crap until you click away. They're just hitting in your feed. So you scroll, scroll, scroll. It passes you by. If you notice it, you notice. If you don't, you don't. So everyone's so mad about Facebook advertising, but they don't really do a bad job at it.
This kind of goes back to what you said about, you know, we have these filters now that we just kind of just bleh, I'm not watching this anymore. We just scroll past it. You know, it's like when the TV adverts are on, you know, everybody talks about subliminal messages. Okay, I was going to say, I don't remember the last time I bought something I saw on TV. If it was subliminal, how would I know that I didn't see something on TV to buy it?
You know, everyone says that about advertising. Everyone, quote unquote, hates advertising, and yet everyone, including those of us who swear we block it the most, have bought something because of an ad. I have myself recently been sitting down watching TV. Karen and I are watching TV. Advertisement comes on for Love That Chicken from Popeyes, and I won't even eat fast food. And we're like, damn, we really want some Popeyes chicken. And so we set up on a mission. We didn't end up at Popeyes, but we set up on a mission to go get some ridiculously salty but hot but hella delicious, like, fast food chicken. Yeah, so just know, everyone says they don't like, don't advertise to me, blah, blah, blah. But you wouldn't have 90% of the crap in your house if somebody didn't advertise it to you at one point. And it may not have been the vendor. It may have been your friend. We do it to each other every week on Cool Things Found. Or
Yeah. No, I just thought, and I mean, it is clear that a lot of the good of the internet, you know, it's ad-supported because people expect it free at the point of consumption. You know, so ads aren't necessarily bad, and also better targeted ads. You know, it's this interesting one of us getting used to how, being comfortable with how well a company knows us versus how much do you want to see adverts for, you know, nappies or things if you're a bloke, a gentleman amongst our company at the moment, sort of thing. You know, but I thought it was really interesting, and I mean, we're all kind of used to the idea of that Google, Facebook, etc. are able to get these more precise and quite tightly defined demographics, but now this one of companies are able to use an email address they have of ours as the seed for working out either us specifically, and after all, our email address is probably the most specific and unique thing that we have on the internet, or to, yeah, group like people they've grouped with us by.
I wonder how. I'm not that scared. I mean, I think that they probably have able to do that already. I mean, you know, I've spoken to campaign managers who have, you know, data scientists at hand who know that. In a month's time, you may or may not be planning on buying a brand new, you know, Golf or whatever. It's amazing that actually, I find it incredibly interesting how they generate the analytics to be able to pinpoint who you are, what you do, and the demographics and so on. I mean, in as much as it can go wrong, it can also go incredibly right. So the email thing's not, in my opinion, it's not too far from me, but it does make me wonder at what point do I think, you know, how far is too far? I mean, if they've got my email, the only reason they've got my email is because I've signed up to it. I am interested in it. You know, no different to a newsletter almost.
Right.
So what is too far?
I think only when they say, hey, sir, would you like some cream because you're about to scratch your ass in 30 seconds. Like, then it's gone too far. Other than that, I don't really see what the point is. I mean, I've never come across an email that's tapped on anything too secretive. But he's right. They're definitely scary. You get some pretty close to stuff, you know, like the lease on the car is going to end in a couple of months, and all of a sudden you start getting these car ones from people that are not BMW, right? Like, that's, you know, that's a little questionable. Like, how did they get that far? Have they heard me talking to somebody about the leases popping up or something? But, you know, nothing really scary like, hey, nice red underwear, sir. would you be interested in more red underwear? And I'd be like, Jeff, you said you wouldn't tell.
I thought I was throwing them off your track.
But they're going to try. They're going to try more and more things. I'm sure Jeff and Doc, you've probably spoken the last couple of weeks about ad blocking a hell of a lot, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know,
It actually breaks Safari. So I just turned it back off. Like, it breaks so many sites.
But funny enough, the ad blocking broke Google Plus tonight before I came on air. I had AdBlock Plus installed on Chrome on my Mac, and it broke Google Plus. So I don't know if that's a purposeful more. Because it's one of the things, because Apple's done it, you know, people have been blocking ad blockers for years in Chrome and Firefox and God knows what. But because it is an Apple thing now, and Apple have now approved it in iOS 9, people are hearing about it going, oh, I can block ads now, can I?
Mm-hmm. No, it's definitely been out since what, Grease Monkey?
Yeah. Well, yeah. The thing is, I've never used Adblock in my life, and I don't know if it was more prominent because people are talking about it right now. But I was on a very prominent technology website the other day, and I just wanted to click on their top link. I went to click, and then the ad dropped down, and I hit the ad. I had to refresh the page, and then I went to click the top link again, and then the ad came in. I clicked the ad, and I had to refresh the page. I was like, I'm going to put an ad blocker on now. And I think it's now in the mindset of people going, do you know what? I live with these ads for so long, and now actually they are really annoying. And I think people block them out for a long time, but I think because Apple have done this thing with the ad blockers now, and it has made the mainstream news, that, you know, not just the technology news, that people are more aware of adverts than they ever were before. So yes, companies are going to have to try new ways of kind of duping us into buying their stuff.
I think you're right, because I myself had never used an ad blocker. I always thought it would be unfair because I, you know, coming from the web developer side, I feel the guys who do the work need to get paid. So I never really bothered. I never really clicked on ads. But I have had those freaking slide down and take 80% of the screen, and I've accidentally clicked on those things. Okay. And that's super irritating.
I tell you one.
Video ads that autoplay with sound.
Yeah. Yeah. I should be banned.
I mean, one interesting irony is that before the app or ad blocking thing kicked off, Google went and announced and were changing some of their prioritization for website ranking. Mm-hmm. And actually, if a website goes and puts a large, I think it's more than 70 or 80% of the screen ad for go get our app instead of browsing our mobile website, Google will penalize them in the ranking.
Okay.
Which is a bit of an irony, because obviously, well, that's a website doing an ad for their own app, but Google wants you to stay on the web, so they're penalizing people for sending, for trying to get into ads.
Well, that's probably you into ads. but the person, the ads to apps now. But I was going to bring something in while we were doing it over the summer. It was the show that me and Jeff were going to do, and we didn't do it. But Jeff, as obviously an editor of a website that is, you know, you've got ad revenue coming in. What do you think about what? What is your view on blocking ads? Because that is a serious revenue stream.
Yeah, well, it is our revenue stream. So when people are blocking ads, what they're doing is taking content without paying for it, in essence. Mm-hmm. And so that means that money that otherwise would be coming in to keep the servers running and pay our writers, that's not coming in. Now, the problem, though, is that so many ad delivery companies have gotten so egregious with the way they are pushing ads that it's a problem, and it makes it difficult or impossible at times to actually find the content you want, and it slows down your browsing experience, and it's eating up bandwidth, which is also a big deal if you're on mobile, and I totally get why people are blocking ads all the time. And so my feeling is the industry needs to change, because the whole ad blocking thing, it's been building up for a while, and then Apple just gave it a big boost by adding the ability to put content blockers into mobile Safari. And it's time for the market to change, and it needs to in a big way. And a lot of the problems we're seeing today did not exist until Google started their whole AdWord and AdSense system where it was automating ads. And when that happened, from that point forward, it's just been this ongoing fight to find new and more cunning ways to get people to see ads. And if we go back to what we were doing before Google got into the market, where the sites are having to take a more active role in deciding what content is shown, I think that's going to make a big difference, and we'll start seeing less content blocking, because the ads won't be obtrusive, the ads will be relevant, and we won't have people's computers, whether it's their laptop or their desktop or their mobile device, having to do all the processing for the ads, because right now that's how it works. When when you hit a website, the ads that you get are handled by code that gets downloaded to you. Your computer has to process it and then send information back to the server to determine what ads to show. So so if you don't get the top tier ad or the second tier or third tier, I mean, there's this exchange that's going back and forth for quite a while in internet terms before you actually get the ad. That's stalling your web page from loading. That's wasted bandwidth and processing time on your end. And that's total crap. It should not be like that at all. And it doesn't have to be like that. So hopefully it's going to change now. We'll see.
Do you think there'll be actually a sea change in the way that people serve ads now?
Yes. That's what I'm hoping for, because that's what needs to happen.
So are you working with advertisers for the Mac Observer to change the way that you do ads at the moment?
Our ads, for the most part, have not... have always been the, I'll call it the old school way. Mm-hmm. And there's not much processing that's needing to happen on the end user side. We do have Google Ads that show up, but that's like a last fallback. Right. So if there's no other ads that can fit into a space or for whatever reason can be displayed for a user, then the Google Ads will come up. But if you look at our articles, we experimented for a little while with the inline keyword ads where you roll over a word and it pops up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they generated a lot of revenue. But we still pulled it out because we don't use those now because they're so annoying. Yeah. So we actually took a revenue hit to do that. Wow. But everyone that's coming to our site is much happier because we pulled those ads.
I also think the problem with those ads is they're misleading. You look at a link on the website, I mean, generally speaking, as a developer or anybody with sort of accessibility in mind, a link text should always be underlined blue because that's what we associate with a link on the website.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with those adverts is, okay, they're usually double underlined but still blue and they still look like a link. So people, you know, it's got iPhone highlighted because somebody wants to sell you an iPhone, and you go, "Oh, there's an article on iPhone." Oh no, just that, you know. And that's what's happening. That's what's going to lead. But I mean, I've worked for a couple of affiliate marketing kind of things, and the problem you've got is the industry itself is so huge. Huge in affiliate marketing. It is unreal, and just being able to to change the way that works is it's a massive step, and I think it probably does take something like this to be able to go, do you know what, we need to change, guys. We need to pass this, and we need to advertise in a better way, in a smarter way, you know. And I think you're probably right that this might spur something like that, but I don't know. You know, as I say, I just know that it's a massive industry, and it's going to be very tough thing to change.
Yeah, well, I think it is going to spur some change, and especially because the real target of all this for Apple is Google. What they're trying to do is hurt Google, and so they push people away from the automated ad systems that Google has out there, and then get people to start looking at content in apps instead of websites. And in app, the ads are not blocked.
Exactly.
Yeah. I thought it was, I did hear on the Verge cast recently, they were talking a bit about this and ads. And interesting, they were talking about how they wanted to be a better net citizen and actually do nicer ads. Apparently, I don't know whether they've got it in yet or they're still engineering it, but they're planning to switch across all their ads to only load post-initial page load, which obviously is another one because, you know, especially on mobile or limited bandwidth, you know, it's getting ridiculous, the size bloat of pages now, you know. we're heading to, I believe the average is up at 3 meg for a lot of top pages now.
And you know, most, and I remember most of that is bandwidth being sucked up by ads and the supporting code that has to go along with those ads.
Generally speaking, just as a developer, to a minimum rates, things like that. So if I ever did make a make an advert or anything, it had to be at the time. I mean, this is nearly 10 years ago now, but I have done more recently than that. But it had to be below a certain amount. I did an iPad advert, I think, about 3 years ago, and it was for I think it was for The Economist. It had to be below 3 meg. That actually, you're right. Yeah, it had to be below 3 meg. Anything over that was just too much. But that was an advert that you had to click on in order to see that. It wasn't just imposed on you. You had to click on that to be able to see it. So, you know, it's a little bit kinder.
Exactly.
Yeah, going back to the start of my web development career, I used to have a budget of 60k for all HTML and images on a page.
Wow.
That was you know, back quite a way now. But you know, I mean, I still sort of, you know, think that certainly 1 meg. Is you've got to justify quite a lot to have your total page size up at 1 meg, but there are sites, you know, it's a lot of sites, particularly with the ads, are up at 3 meg a page now, which is ridiculous.
That's cool. Well, thank you, Alan. That's a really good story. And Jeff, thank you for that. That was a really good insight as well. Just obviously,
sure,
that affects your business, and you know, it has been a huge story that, you know, the last couple of weeks. And yeah, I think the industry has to change the way that they do. I think the public have become kind of blindsided by advertising, by other publications where it is a bit egregious, where it kind of, you know, it pops up in the middle of your screen and you've got to find the X, and the X is so small that you've got to try and press it, and it's no good. So, no, a really good story. Now, Jeff, you're going to lighten all of our lives, aren't you, sir?
I am, but instead of giving you an awesomely fun story about sex toys, I'm going to drop a story on you where I'm sitting here looking at this, shaking my head and doing the whole WTF thing. Ooh. It turns out that Amazon has decided that if you sell a streaming content device, like an Apple TV, that you're not going to be able to sell it through Amazon anymore.
I saw this just before we came on. Yes, you're absolutely right. Yes. It's Chromecast.
Crazy.
Chromecast, Apple TVs, all those sort of things. They're not going to have it, are they?
No. And so if you're a reseller and you sell, say, an Apple TV through your Amazon program, they're going to take that off of your inventory list. This month, and I think this is going to go poorly, because the requirement is your device must support Amazon Prime Video, and if it does not, you can't sell it through Amazon anymore. And Amazon has been flexing their monopoly control muscles in the United States for quite a while, and that was behind the whole thing with Apple getting sued by the Department of Justice for supposedly putting together a conspiracy to fix the price of books, which is not what was happening. It was the publishers that just found it was actually really convenient to work with Apple to do what they had wanted, which was change how books are priced. Because Amazon was selling books below cost. So every book Amazon sells is at a loss, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And so no one can match their prices. No one can compete. Everyone else is out of the market, for the most part. Amazon controls the book market. and they control a lot of other markets too. And now they are going to try and control the streaming video market. And to do that, they're going to make it difficult for people to buy anything that doesn't support their own streaming video platform. This is bad, and this is something that I think the United States government opened the door for, because that when they when the courts, the federal courts, said that Apple actually had conducted or been part of a conspiracy that was a violation of antitrust laws, they essentially were saying, Amazon, we approve of your monopoly, and you are free to use your monopoly powers to control the market in any way you see fit. So now we have this happening.
I'm shocked. I'm also, in one respect, I'm almost in two minds, because, you know, I think in the argument against, at the day, Amazon is a marketplace. They sell things. They, you know, and they should not be able to choose. Well, no, I say they shouldn't be able to choose what they can and cannot sell. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you can choose what you can and cannot sell in your own shop. But, you know, at the same time, go on.
Is it different between, because Apple choose what they sell in their stores? Is there a difference?
There's a big difference.
Is it, yes, because Amazon is a marketplace for all goods?
Right, and Apple is saying, if you want to have your streaming service app on the App Store, you can do that.
Right.
What Amazon is saying is, if you sell a product that doesn't support something that we sell, then this can't be sold by you or anyone else.
Isn't it up to them to produce the application for those devices? I mean, I don't know the ins and outs, so I don't know whether or not Apple have turned around and said, well, actually, you're not allowed to create that app and put it on our devices. I don't know.
Well, for those types of devices, well, we'll use Apple TV, since it's pretty clear this is part of what Amazon's going after. Amazon would write the app. Like Netflix, they wrote the app with Apple's support for Apple TV. So Amazon would write their Amazon Prime Video app for Apple TV and work with Apple, and then it goes onto the device. But to get that on an Apple TV, there's all this other licensing stuff that happens. There's money that goes back and forth. And if Apple and the broadcaster can't reach terms that they both like, then it's not going to happen. So we don't know if Amazon has ever approached Apple and said, hey, we want to do this. All we do know is that Amazon is in a position where they have monopoly control in a market, and that changes the rules for them. Okay. And yeah. And so now we have a company with monopoly control that's saying, if you don't support our service, then you can't sell anything.
Because they're not just affecting Apple and Google per se, because there's a lot of third-party resellers who sell through Amazon who have stock of Chromecasts and Apple TVs. So right, they're actually putting those people out of business as well, aren't they?
Right. And that's exactly what's happening.
So it's completely unfair, isn't it? Because the Chromecast is a weird one, because the Chromecast does a job of unloading content to the device, to your TV. You know, I guess it'd be hard to get onto the Apple TV. People have talked about Amazon Prime being on there, maybe not a chance in the world. But it would be very simple for Amazon to write their, you know, and it's a whole 30% thing of you buying stuff through Amazon through Apple. But with the Chromecast, they could just add the Google Cast technology to their app for Android and iOS.
Mm-hmm.
And then if people want to buy stuff, they could still do it. So I understand the Apple TV. I don't understand the Chromecast so much.
Choosing not to, though. I mean, I suppose that's the argument there, though, isn't it? If I choose not to, and then I don't have to sell your product on my website. I mean, that I suppose is maybe what the argument for is that, you know, well, if I'm choosing not to create an app to fit on your device, then I don't have to sell your device.
But then with the Chromecast, it's Google are kind of saying to you, come and use our device, come, you know, add the Google Cast, you know. And I'm sure I understand the Apple thing with the 30%. That is, you know, Amazon do that with the books as well. They'd rather you do it outside of the iOS or Apple ecosystem so they can make their 100%. The Apple TV was released, 2-3 weeks ago. It's strange that it's come out in the week of the Chromecast. If I was Amazon, I'd attack the Apple TV directly. Maybe they were just waiting to see what the actual competition from the other big vendor was going to be.
Well, I think this is also kind of a little late, really, because obviously isn't the new Apple TV one of the big things is that it's going to have a more open, more iPhone-like app store, whereas before Apple
there was nothing.
A very restricted gatekeeper, wasn't it, for Apple TV?
Mm-hmm. There's nothing stopping Amazon submitting an app for Amazon Prime. Nothing at all.
Whereas before, on the previous Apple TVs, there was. You had to publish via Apple, not into a alleged open app store.
Hmm. Right. And so if Amazon wanted to create an app for Apple TV, well, they could. And actually, the way apps like Netflix work, and HBO Go and these other apps where you're already going to be paying for a service, you actually don't pay for the service for the Apple TV app. So it's not like Apple's getting a 30% cut of what's happening there, because you've already paid for your subscription outside of Apple TV.
But Amazon has taken a huge hit in hardware anyway. They've just like laid off a load of people from the hardware division, haven't they? The Fire Phone was an absolute failure. The Amazon Fire HD tablets weren't really that great. They're now selling tablets in packs of six at the moment to flog them.
Yes.
You know, and maybe they're saying, okay, you know, because you can buy an iPad on Amazon, you buy an Apple TV, you can buy Apple cables and that sort of thing. You know, it just wonders where this sort of thing is going to end, because you're wondering, well, are you going to block any compatible device from any competitor? Because, you know, yes, I've heard a lot of stories that the Amazon Fire TV and the Fire Stick are very good products, but I don't think that if you're going to bad Apple TVs, if people want to buy them and they are compelling devices, and the Chromecast audio really compelling devices with
I think this has to be a tactic, because if I was Amazon, what I would have done and what would have avoided any sort of regulatory people starting to think or look at me and stuff is just, well, no, okay, I'll sell Apple TVs and Google Chromecasts, but there'll be a big banner section, or all over those pages there will be things of, well, you'd be better and cheaper to get a Fire TV.
Absolutely. You know,
because that, it's your marketplace, it's your web page. I don't see, you know, many people could come up and complain about you offering your own device alongside your competitor on your web page. But this one, yeah, I do also wonder, is Amazon just doing this on the US market, Amazon Marketplace? Because I know certainly, obviously, in the UK, we've got a lot stricter monopolies view of things, and if a company is perceived to have a monopoly position, then they will come. Then the regulators will come down on a ton of bricks for this sort of behaviour. Mm. Whereas, as Jeff said, America unfortunately is not quite tends to look a lot more friendly on monopolies.
Well, certainly the Amazon monopoly.
Yeah. Well, look, this first look at the UK store, Apple. I've typed in Chromecast, and the new Chromecast is not available. But in the top right of my screen, it says all new Amazon Fire TV, $79.99. So not only are they not selling the new hardware, they are purposely pitching their own hardware. So I think they're being as aggressive over here as they are over there.
Actually, there's nothing wrong with that, if I'm honest. I mean, it's paid for advertising. You know, and at the end of the day, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think I would do it, actually, if I'm honest. If I were, you know, if I were a business in such a... I would say, you know, oh, you search for this, have a look at my device. And the irony is actually you're still in Google for it anyway.
Exactly. But no, it's a very interesting time. It is a wonder whether they are taking a hit on their hardware so badly that they will only sell their hardware to, you know, if they're looking at their margins on the hardware that they sell and they are selling hardware of other vendors, that may bring their hardware down. Maybe they're thinking that might bring their margins up. I'm not sure.
Well, the hardware margins for Amazon, I don't think they care about, because Amazon doesn't sell their own hardware, so their Kindle brand, to be a market leader on hardware sales. These are conduits. And what they're doing is selling people into being more tightly drawn into the Amazon ecosystem. They want to sell you other things. They could give away Fire Sticks and Kindles for free. Like, you know, you sign up for a Prime account. Okay, they just send you a box and it has this stuff in it. They could do that. Yeah, and it's all about making it easier for you to buy from them. So that they don't care about what the margins are. And there's a reason why they don't tell us like solid numbers for quarterly Kindle sales. They just do their nicely designed graphs that say numbers are up.
Yeah,
doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Right. They're very interesting times. It'd be interesting to see how this goes, if it goes any further. So, yeah, thank you, Jeff. That was a
sure thing.
Thank you, everyone. There have been some really good stories tonight. You have all pulled it out of the bag.
Oh, thank you.
Good lads. Oh, well, so, Toolmate, don't block this ad. Don't skip by 30 seconds. But this show and all the others are sponsored by UK2.net. They're amazing. They support everything that we do. I use UK2 for all of my stuff. And this week, just an example, I had to use another domain name provider for something that had gone wrong. And they were rubbish. I won't use the word I was going to use, but they were absolute rubbish. If you've got a problem with UK2, they sort it out there and then. Absolutely brilliant. For you BTN listeners, they've got some fantastic offer codes for you for domains, VPN, VPS, all of that sort of stuff. Head on to the support us page at britishtechnology.com and you can check out all the discount codes we've got for you. Even if you're logging into your account, just want to do your admin and that sort of thing, renew your domains and all that, just log in there, because they know that you came from us and they appreciate your support, because they support us and we support them. And another thing I'd just like to say, we haven't mentioned it in a while, is our Patreon. If you really like what we do, probably the production value on tonight's show, you could probably say you could spend some more money on that. If you head over to patreon.com/BritishTechNetwork, you can give us as little as $1 a month to just support what we do. We're looking at pushing more shows out. We've got a couple of new shows coming out very, very soon. We'll let you know about those as they come up. But check out patreon.com/BritishTechNetwork. And all I need from you guys is, have we got some cool things? Alan!
Yes. Yeah, I think I've got a cool thing. At least an interesting thing. I've not pulled the trigger on this one myself, but I really like the idea and concept. So, it's a Temp Scope, a box of rain in your living room, Indiegogo.
Oh, yeah, that thing is so cool.
So, there's a video to go along with it, but basically, it is a column with a Perspex box area in it, and this device can produce rain cloud, emulate lightning and sunshine, and it's kind of so you can set it to connect to the internet and basically right. get your local or anywhere else in the world's weather, and it will then show you, so you put it by the door or in your living room, and you know what the weather's like outside because it's gone and created a mini copy of the day's weather in your living room.
Oh my word.
You can also, if you're just the sort of person who, you know, likes the sound of rain or a storm, can just manually via smartphone set it to a particular weather effect. And I just thought it was a very interesting one because it's obviously analog weather using internet to do digital connection and sensing of what the weather's like, and then effectively turning it back into an analog real world display of the weather in a box.
That's actually very cool.
It is, you know, $199 for the developer's kit. Mm-hmm. So it's not super cheap, but I think it's pretty unique. And the guys doing it have actually sort of been doing DIY kits for a couple of years and stuff. So this isn't actually a first generation device. They have been producing and working on these for a while.
It's like the coolest lava lamp in the world.
Yes. Yeah.
That's absolutely brilliant. I can't afford one, but I would love to.
Yeah, I thought it classed as a cool thing.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Conversation will be had with the wife after this. And I will get slapped. But we'll try.
That does
Terry.
Yes.
Terry, have you got cool things for me?
I have. That's where I just ran away to. This is cool. Can you, there we go.
Whoa, what the hell?
Oh, I love that game.
Exploding Kittens. It's amazing. Is that back to front? My camera? I think it was.
No. Throw it around. Yep, you're right.
Exploding Kittens. So, it's a card game for people who are into kittens and explosions and laser beams. And it's amazing. I'll drop the link in the chat. I got it on. Where did I get it on? I got it on a Kickstarter about 6 months, and a funny through. We were going to Cyprus in August. It came through the post, and there were four of us, and it's absolutely amazing. You a load of cards, loads of cards. I don't know how many are in there. But eventually,
52.
You
yeah, there's 52 cards.
Oh, 52 cards. There you go. And essentially, you have to avoid the exploding kitten card. You're at the short version. Really, I don't know if you can see. I've lost my window as well. Control tilde. There we go. That's an exploding kitten. But essentially, you've got a series of cards that can diffuse them and all this, and it is great fun. It is really, really good fun, and you can also get Not Safe for Work deck, which has
really
yes, it's really good. I enjoy it. I encourage everybody to play it. Yes, and if there's it's light triggered on boxes, also hopefully this.
No.
The sad thing is that if you buy Exploding Kittens now, meaning outside of the Kickstarter, you don't get the special box that meows at you.
Oh, really?
No.
And also, I see, though, at the moment, though, it's only shipping in the US now. That's all right. But they say sign up for our newsletter when it's available internationally.
Terry knows people. Cool.
That looks excellent.
It is. It's good fun.
Fantastic. Right, Jeff, come on. This has got to be dirty. Come on.
Oh, you want something dirty? Hold on. I'll have to do a quick search.
Oh.
I don't have a dirty thing today, but hold on. I bet I can have one something for you real quick.
What
hold
did
on.
Jeff type into the internet?
You do not want to know.
The internet sits there. Go, Jeff is here.
No.
Here we go. Hey! I just got us something awesome. Do you have an Apple Watch?
I don't.
You want to have some special time in your life? You want to have a special moment? Why don't you go out and find yourself Blush? It's a sex toy that you actually control. It's a vibrator that you control through your Apple Watch. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God, in this video that comes with it? Okay. It's from a company called LoveSense, I guess.
Yeah.
I see it, yes. What the hell is that? What the?
Where does it go? So,
yeah, all right,
so the large part goes into your vagina, and the small part goes into your butt.
Right.
So you get double penetration from this, and then you can control the vibration right from your watch. And apparently there's an Indiegogo campaign, and they've already more than triple. Oh, wow, they're up over $30,000.
What a surprise! $30,000. That looks like, that is just a little bit. It moves around side to side. No, that's a bit weird.
Does it?
I'm not sure what that does.
I love the one of there's a paragraph in there that says, in addition, the app uses the smartphone or watch's built-in microphone of the end user to adjust the level of vibration based on how loud the environment is, so making it more discreet if needed.
God, thank God,
Barry. In a quiet environment, you don't get as good vibration.
So if you're at the club.
Mm-hmm. Or the train station.
You're going to get some serious action.
Stand next to the speaker.
Isn't this, you know, encouraging use in public places?
Yes, it is.
That's a whole new website for Jeff, that is.
Now, here's the awesome thing. You have no idea what my search was that brought this up.
That's what I was going to ask, is what the hell, did you just put into Google, Jeff's here? And Google just went, here's some filth.
No, I was like, I typed Google, show me something fun.
Oh, did you?
No, I didn't actually type that.
But
wouldn't that be awesome if Google knew me well enough that I could say, show me something fun, and it brought up things like this.
I got tons of Google, show me.
And now see, if I had been going to a school where using technology had been banned, I wouldn't have been able to, on the fly, find this, talk about it, and just use it as my cool thing found for the week, just on the spur of the moment.
and I just typed in the Google, show me dirty stuff, and I'm going to close that window right away.
You probably should.
I hope you at least open that for as an in-private browser so that you're not going to see the ads associated with that search forever.
Oh, crap, I'm screwed.
yes, you are. Here's what I searched. My search was Apple Watch sex toy.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So, in a way,
the first thing that came up.
Kind of almost invented it in a kind of Back to the Future kind of way.
Yeah, and my Google doesn't even know it doesn't even have a pre-bridged, you know, and it was top as well. It was, oh, God.
You're right, Ashley. That's the new business model for Google. They are going to, if they can crack this, they're going to sell to companies what the future search terms are so they can make the product now ready for when people type search term in the future.
Isn't that what Amazon are doing with their predictive search?
you need 6 months to make the product, so you know, this future predictive search.
Ah. Well, there is actually a true thing that there was a patent, I think, this time last year where Amazon were doing this thing where they were essentially shipping things into your area ready for you to buy even though you hadn't gone to buy it yet, so that you can get your next day delivery. It's something like that. It's like predictive buying. It's crazy.
Well, I know that obviously for that New York sort of same day or what was it, same hour now one. Obviously, they, you know, yeah, they do a lot of work because they've obviously got, they have to ship in to a smaller warehouse close in, but they don't want to use too much floor space in that expensive warehouse. So, yeah, they've done a lot to work out what are the products that most people are ordering regularly.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming if Amazon ever gets around to doing that in Boulder, Colorado, they're going to have this small warehouse, and they'll be like, why do we have so many sex toys?
And then you move state, Jeff. And then
I move, and they're stuck with a warehouse filled with vibrating dildos.
Yeah, but it's even more dabbing and dime when you type in Android Wear sex toy and you get no results.
Well, that
there are none.
That's kind of telling, isn't it?
So you take your Android Wear and go do something else.
I thought you were going to say stuff it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Bat Winch missed all of this because she left the chat room early.
She did. It was too much for us. So I've got a quick cool thing for tonight. It's not something that I own per se. It's something I ordered today, and I don't know if any of you guys have seen it. I'll post it in the chat room now. It's the display note montage box. I don't know if you've ever seen this before, but you know how cool AirPlay is on Apple TV and those sort of things. Obviously, I'm doing a new job at the moment, and we're putting this huge video wall in. But the montage box, you can capture up to 12 devices all in one go, whether they be Windows, Mac, Android, Chromebooks, Android, all in one go. And you can push them all up into one screen. And you can then take two screens, put them together, or anyone who's then connected can then take control of the session. It's just, I think it's probably the future of... because my job is all about learning and teaching now. It's just a really, really cool product. We've got it on a pre-order at the moment, but you know, we were looking at getting Apple TV. We thought, well, other people have got Windows devices and that sort of thing. And we thought, you know, we'd get something that was universal. And this is the first universal box that we've seen. It's about £1,200 over here at the moment. But we've got a kind of pre-order device. And it looks absolutely brilliant. As soon as I get one in, as soon as it arrives, I'll do a review on the site and let you know. But it is just the coolest technology, just because it's so cross-platform. Absolutely love it.
That's interesting. My client at the moment is, they've started building Skype rooms, or well, they were Link rooms, but now it's Skype for Business rooms, I suppose.
Yes.
But no, this looks quite cool.
Yeah, I was going to say the next nearest thing, I sort of, in terms of collaboration and stuff, was probably the Microsoft Surface Hubs. But obviously they're using, I think the wireless stuff will obviously use Miracast, although they're extending Miracast to be able to do, you can do touchscreen on the Surface screen and it will move the pointer on the devices.
Yeah, this also supports touchscreen as well.
So yeah, but this one, obviously, if it's multi-platform, and is this just, so it's hardware as well as software, is it the screen, or do you plug into any screen or projector?
No, it's a very small box. It's like, you know like the Intel NUCs, they're very small little computers. Mm-hmm. It's like a little hot, not an Apple TV really size puck that you plug in. What we've got is four 47-inch HP displays that we're... put the video wall in, and we're going to project to that. And it's part of our new learning and teaching area we're building where I work. And yeah, just thought, I'd never heard of it before, and I had to buy one today, and just thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, no, definitely be interested to hear how that works out for you.
I shall do a demo.
That is pretty cool.
Cool. Well, thank you guys. That was a fine workout at the gym. I will see you in the showers very quick, very, very soon.
Don't forget your Apple Watch.
What's that buzzing from the cubicle next door? It's
Jeff. You won't hear it. Remember, it'll keep the volume suitably to be masked by the shower.
No, but Jeff, I'll hear Jeff, don't you worry.
Oh, yeah,
anyway, before we go
you'll hear that.
And all we need to do now is, where can we get hold of you, gentlemen? Alan?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Digital Amoeba.
Fantastic. And Terry, thank you for stepping at the last minute. Absolutely brilliant. Where can we get hold of you? Well, I know, but everyone else needs to know.
Well, thank you very much for having me at such short notice. And you can find me on the wonderful Twitter at Terry_D1.
Fantastic. And he doesn't need any introduction or take anyone where he is. But, Jeffrey, where are you, sir?
I'm hanging out over at MacObserver.com and FreshBrewedTales.com. And on Twitter, I am Jay Gamut. Same thing on Instagram.
Good man. Thank you very much. And absolutely loving all your stuff today. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall for that phone call today. That was absolutely brilliant.
I wish that I had a fast and easy setup ready to go when that call came in so that that I could have recorded it. That would have been awesome.
That'd have been amazing. Oh, you can find me. Oh, actually, you can find Dot Rock here to drop it earlier at Dot Rock on Twitter and various other places on the internet. And you can find me, and I'll say it again as I did last week, because apparently I mumble when I say it. You can find me at Paulums on Twitter. That's PAULUMS. We will see you all next week. The governor will be back then, so order will be restored. And thank you all for joining us. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.